Our scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
This is a busy weekend in our family, not just for our return to normalcy as a family, but returning not one but two children to their respective colleges. So if I'm a little off my game, pray for me. Our daughter Lydia is a sophomore at RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology. Despite all my southern influences, she goes up to that cold country to go to school. And like I said, she's a sophomore now. Last year when she was a freshman, she flew back around this time for her second semester. And she discovered that the period January and February in Rochester is so much more bleak than, say, November or December when people are wearing Santa hats and things. When she went up last year at this time, she went back to an empty dorm because her roommate had moved out in favor of apartment over third floor walk-up dorm living, go figure. She discovered that semester that her classes were more difficult, and before she knew it, she found herself waking up in the cold, dark January morning, going to class in the dark, coming home from class in the dark. She had night classes. She's Lydia, so she had several clubs and choirs and plays to be in. And it kind of got to her. The bone-chilling cold, some loneliness for my little extrovert. When she was about 10, she said, "Mom, I am an introvert." I said, no, you just want to be in a play where you play the part of an introvert. When spring came in earnest, which happens in Rochester around June the 1st, her mood improved and she came to herself. And when she came home for summer break, she sort of talked about what it had been like. And she said, "Turns out it's hard to get up and go in the dark winter." She said, "For one time, a little voice in my head said, 'You should probably just stay in bed today.' And that seemed logical, so I tried it once." And she said, "What a terrible mistake that was." And she said, "I think I need a plan for next January when the darkness comes back to RIT. And so this year, when we took her to the airport, she has a plan. She has housemates. She has friends who have made a pact to meet to go to the gym and play badminton and whatever else they do. She has a sun lamp even to remind her body that light is a thing in the face of all the darkness and shadows around us. As humans, we are sort of set up to be attuned to the cycle of seasons and days, winter and summer, day and night. It's easy to think otherwise these days here in 2023, where we can change just about everything about our environments and flip the switch to turn on lights or even bask in the blue light of our many electronic devices. But still, fundamentally, there's something inside of us that listens to these rhythms. For our ancestors, including the people we read about in Scripture, including the early church, light and darkness were more than just concepts. Light and darkness, day and night, dictated what was possible, what was safe, how we spent our time, how we spent our resources. So it's perhaps no wonder that Isaiah used the image of light and darkness to talk about God's saving, liberating action. As we read on Christmas Eve from Isaiah chapter 9, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a land of deep darkness, a light has shined. It's obvious that the author of this chapter of Isaiah, chapter 60, which is the third part of Isaiah, wanted to renew the hope of a community that was familiar with imagery of light, inspiring them in ways that would make an impact. This portion of the book of Isaiah is believed to have been written sometime in the 6th century BC, perhaps just after the first wave of exiles had returned from Babylon. So if the earlier references in Isaiah are sparks, this verse from today is to see the blaze come truly alive, moving from clouds and confusion to brightness and return. Isaiah metaphorically pulls open those wide blackout curtains to reveal staggering morning sunlight streaming through the window. The glory of the Lord is shining. Exile is over. Wake up. Flip the switch. Arise. Shine. Isaiah's image of light is about God's intervention to restore Israel. But for Christians, it's about Jesus. Isaiah 9, about the people walking in shadows, seeing a great light, is the same chapter where we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And we understand that Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who says of himself in John chapter 8, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Christ is our light, and Christ is the world's light too. Doug read from Isaiah chapter 60. You may recall Jesus, following his baptism and his temptation in the wilderness, preaches his first sermon. And that first sermon event is recorded in Luke chapter 4. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Where he went in the scroll was Isaiah 61, right next to this. And when Isaiah was prophesying, Isaiah was talking presumably about himself. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Lord says through Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Jesus says, no, the scripture wasn't fulfilled when he said it. The scripture is fulfilled in me. Jesus reads from Isaiah 61, then he rolls up the scroll, he gives it back to the attendant, and he sits down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue are fixed on him. And Jesus says to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus' mission is to love, save, heal, and free creation. It is like a light for the whole world. Not just for one group of people, not just for one time alone, but for all the people, for all of the time. For all the people who are oppressed, including those oppressed today. for all people who need good news brought to them, including people who need that good news today, and for all captives of every kind, including people shackled to things today. It's no accident that we place the coming of Jesus, the light of the world, in the winter months, at least in this hemisphere, right? The dawn that breaks because of the tender mercies of our God comes to us now in January. It was so cold yesterday, I didn't know what to do. Jesus comes to us when we need him the most, in the winter of our depression, in the midst of our captivity, to all those shadowy voices that tell us that 2023 is going to be just like 2022, it's just like 2021, so what's the point? Jesus comes to us when we are in captivity to all those voices that tell us to adjust and adapt to the shadows, to the way things have always been. You know, they'll tell you gray is really your color. They tell you that the way things have always been is the way that they will always be. It's like, in a way, our natural condition as humans is to be in exile. All of us, we're a little bit in exile. When I became a pastor, you know, we went through a rough season, so I did a sermon series on the wilderness. I thought that'd be a one-off. Every season in ministry I've ever had has felt like wilderness. It's easy to be in that state. That's why we need God. That's why we need the light of the world, because the light that we generate doesn't work. It is our natural state, I think, to be disconnected and afraid and lonely and pushed down and grief-stricken. But in Christ, that's not the end of our story. Christ always comes to us in the midst of this, bringing a new day, bringing fresh forgiveness, bringing mercy, bringing grace. In Christ, God is always doing something new. In Christ, God is always speaking life into places that are as good as dead, bringing life, sharing love, offering forth a new kind of future, a kingdom of God future, that starts in the here and now. And every day, every new year, is a reminder that God offers us a new chance to start over. A new chance to love and grow and heal and see what God is doing in the world and be a part of it. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the light that Isaiah talks about, the light that Jesus proclaims he is, it's not a light of our own making. It's a light God gives us. Isaiah didn't say, "Way to go, exiles, pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. You did so great in exile that you can find your own way home." He didn't say, "You people who walked in darkness, way to discover electricity and make your own light. Good job." It's arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The light has come, so shining is as natural as just turning your head toward it. Arise, shine. Jesus proclaims that he is the light of the world. And just like we don't control whether dawn comes or not tomorrow morning, we don't control the light that Jesus brings. We don't make it. But we are called to reflect it. We're called to let this little light of mine shine with reflected light that comes from God, that comes from Christ, not from us. And that's great news because it means that the light Jesus brings doesn't depend on us being in a good mood. The light Jesus brings doesn't depend on us being ready for it or particularly together or mourning people. It means we aren't left to our own devices, our own resilience, our own encouragement. It's a gift that God gives us. So if we're not the origin of the light, we're called to reflect it. Our job is to open up our hearts and receive the light of Christ and then be a witness to the light, to reflect it to others, to align ourselves with the new thing God is always doing, the new thing that God is always bringing, to look and listen for the signs of God's light. I talked about this in a recent Pastor's Pondering, but I was listening to this podcast about Advent, and the podcaster was talking about something in nature, a phenomenon called the dawn chorus. It's what ornithologists call the time when morning birds begin to sing. And I have an association with this because when I was in college in Durham, North Carolina, where it's not as cold and dark as Rochester, I wrote every paper I ever wrote the night before. Don't be like me. I was an English major. I was one class away from a history minor. They said I had to do like a thesis. I said no thank you to the history minor. Every paper I wrote the night before. So there was always this moment. And it was right after I had gone to the restroom to pray to God and to explain that I would never, never, never do this again if God would just allow me to turn something in. And I would explain that I didn't care about the grades and I didn't care about the GPA and why was I this way. And then right after that low point, the birds would begin to sing. And this dawn chorus actually starts before dawn, while there's still shadows, before the sun actually breaks over the horizon. It's a full-throated song that happens before there's tangible evidence of the light. It's in anticipation. It's that the birds are on alert for those first secret signs of the light. And they sing. Perhaps being a Christian in 2023 is like that. Our job is to listen for the dawn chorus, those first signs of Christ's light in the world, and to point them out and to raise our voices, to sing for justice, to sing for a vision of the world that is different than what all those other voices tell us. On this Martin Luther King Day weekend, it's a constant reminder of what happens when the people of God arise and shine. When people stand up and wake up and align themselves to the light of Christ. King famously said in his book, Strength to Love, which is great. If you're going to read something by Martin Luther King, that's my favorite, Strength to Love. He said, the saving of our world from pending doom will come not through the complacent adjustment of the conforming majority, but through the creative maladjustment of a non-conforming minority. It's sort of wordy and a lot of syllables, but that sounds like the church to me. Creatively maladjusted. A non-conforming minority. Conforming to who Jesus says we are and what we're supposed to do and not what necessarily the majority says we need to do and be. The church is perhaps called to be the dawn chorus, bringing light that comes first from Christ to drive out darkness. After all, it's King who famously said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. What does it? Light. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. We are called to be people who are so plugged in to the way and the truth and the life of Christ that we live in a way that looks to the world like creative maladjustment of a non-conforming minority. People ought to look at the church and notice how different we are. Because of how we love one another. Because of how courageous we are. Because of our love even for our enemies. Because we stand out in the cold in December telling a Christmas story to our neighbors. Because we spend Martin Luther King Day packing pound after pound of food for others. Writing letters to people who are in need of light. Making blankets for foster kids. Making bunk beds for kids who otherwise would sleep on the floor. And not just do those acts of service. But here's the Glenmar difference for you. We create a space where we help our neighbors to do those things. Who ever heard of a church like that? We don't just send out an email to like all of our members and say, y'all come and make packages of food. We recruit our members to create spaces where we can invite our neighbors who don't know anything about our church, who just know it's Martin Luther King Day, and maybe they want to do something special in his honor with their child. Even when we serve, it's not about us. It's about making activities for other people to do, giving them supplies, a pathway for them to be a blessing to others, showing them this is what it feels like to let the light of Christ shine. This little light of mine, the one we're called to shine, is real, and it comes to us as a gift from the one who said, I came that they may have life and have it to the full. So it's 2023, and I know it's the 15th, but I give myself a good half a month to get my act together for the new year. What if we opened our hearts and let the sun shine in an intentional way, the light of Christ, to receive what God has done in Christ, receive that Christ comes to love, save, heal, and free, and it starts with us. Let's flip the switch in our hearts so the light of Christ can flow through us and shine through us. After Jesus said about himself, I am the light of the world, in Matthew he turned to his disciples and he said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. People don't light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You know, we built this building on this big hill, not because we wanted it to be windy all the time. What's up with that? We built it here because we felt God calling us to be a presence in Ellicott City, in Columbia, in Elk Ridge, in Howard County, and beyond. It's not an accident. And there was a lot of the Holy Spirit filling our hearts with this scripture. Called to be a place on a hill where the light of Christ would shine brightly, where everyone would be welcome, everyone would be loved. It would be a place of sanctuary. It would be a place of praise. It would be a place of growth, and it would be a place of service. Look what God has done, Glenmar. So let the sun shine in, and then reflect him out so that others see what you are doing and call you creatively maladjusted. Thank you. Reflect that light out by working to spread the light of Jesus' love so that through you there is more justice, more mercy, more humility, more forgiveness, more love, more peace, more reconciliation. We can send the light of Christ everywhere we go this year. We can send it into the halls of power, through legislative advocacy, through civic engagement, through peaceful marches, through making our voices heard and making the voices heard that maybe are on the margins. We can send the light of Christ into all the spaces we go, our jobs, our school, our home. Like a dawn chorus, may we arise and shine in 2023 because our light has come. That light is not for just us, but it's the whole world. Flip the switch and let the sun shine in. Amen.